And then also within England, you toured New Zealand in 1973.
Yeah. Well, what happened, I broke my leg in Twickenham in 1972, and it took a long time coming back to it, so that was my return. And I trained. I live in Sheridan then, and there was a hill there, and I ran up it every day, like in sectors, and 20s and 10s and 20s and 10s. Still, I've got some fitness, but it's hard to run when you've got a broken leg. And that tour was very important to me because I played towards the end of that season, and they took me on the tour. So I was very pleased. Frank Cotton was the other prop, was Stack Stevens, and Pullin was the lead hooker. And but I mean, it was put together. We were supposed to go to Argentina, but we were advised by the Foreign Office not to go because they were going to kidnap us. So we went there. We played Fiji, Taranaki, Wellington, Canterbury, and the All Blacks. So and I didn't play in the All Blacks in that game. We won the two tests and lost the provincials. So it was, in that sense, it was a successful tour. It was just something I would never have gone to New Zealand if I didn't have that opportunity. So I was very pleased to go there as a player, play their top provincial teams and so on. And with the test match, Cotton and Stack played. I didn't play, but it was understandable because I'd only just come back into the fitness thing, and I didn't have any complaints about it. And like now, if you were on the bench, you would get a game. Yeah. But of course you wouldn't now, because in those days, because they played the full 80, so yeah. You had to be injured first. Yeah. But I had no regrets about it. I thought it was a great tour, and it kept me ticking over, and it kept me in the picture for 74. The following year was a Lions tour.
Yeah. And then after the Lions tour, the following summer you were in Australia.
So I had a good spell.
How do you remember the Australia tour? It must be sort of mixed emotions, I would have thought.
I've never had any hang-ups about it. It was one of those things. We landed and we played in Perth against Western Australia. Well, that was a runabout. It was the opening game. But I didn't play in that game. And I think it was 9 games. The next 8, I played in. So we got to Sydney, and I hadn't played then, and I'd had the long flights. It's 3 hours from Perth, and the long flights down. And we played against Sydney. Now, when we saw Sydney, we thought, well, that'll be their local teams, like Sydney. It'd be like North Gloucester combination, that sort of. Anyway, it was New South Wales. And the following week, we then played New South Wales. It was the same players. So we lost this game, 13-12, the first game. And I played in it, and I got hold my hand up like we lost it, 13-12. But, you know, in the game, my body was 5 yards further away from the ball than my mind. It was like that. It was a difficult thing to come to terms with. You know, you'd have those long journeys and it took its toll. The second game I played, New South Wales, I was back New South Wales, I could play, no problem. And we won that game. We went on to beat Queensland. We played New South Wales country, Queensland country. And we did very well with it. The only thing that was difficult, the first test was on the Sydney Cricket Ground. That turned up into a bit of a physical encounter. And we lost the game, fair and square, to be honest. But they took an experimental team. They didn't take Peter Wheeler. They didn't take a number of other players. And then in the end, they sent for them to come out because we had injuries. And Frank Cotton got injured. Neary got injured. There was an outside half called Wordsworth who got injured. And they sent for Alan Auld. Bennett got injured. He was the Bedford outside half. So we had a lot of problems with the thing. And then the second test, which was unusually the second from final game, was the Brisbane game, which became known as the Battle of Brisbane, in which I was sent off after 3 minutes. So what happened was the hangover from the first test was still there. I think there'd been a bit of a battle, and by this time now we were shorn. Now we didn't have Cotton. The heavy artillery wasn't there, and they kicked off, and we received the ball, and it was just a mass fight. Because I was the tight end, I was on the touchline waiting for the longer kick, but it fell 10 yards away from me, so I had a bird's eye view. Well, they just went in, boots, knuckles, everything, woof, and it's well recorded on the television coverage. And from that, we ended up in a ruck there, and they won the ball, and Hipwell kicked in, it went into the corner, 5 yards out from our line. So I'm just on the way to the thing. I never would say something like that, but I said to the one prop who I saw kicking Nelms, he kicked Marion Nelms, I said, right, you're going to have it here now. You know, I would never say that to anybody because it just gives away what you're up to. So when we got there, He calls it the biff. It's an Australian phrase. He shouted out, "Hey, Burton's got the biff on." And I thought, that's anyway, with that, they all, every one of their blokes hit one of our blokes. So we got another good idea, you know. And the referee's, obviously, he's a local Queensland chap. And he said, "Shh, what's going on?" But in between time, there'd been a little clash of heads. It was accidental between me and this other prop who gave them the word there was a biff on. And he then appealed. And the referee and the... It's well accounted now for the referee. So I saw the Gloucester kiss. The Gloucester, he knew who I was, you know, when he knew it was a Gloucester kiss. Mm. Because he used to call it the Liverpool kiss, if you catch your headbutt. Mm. Anyway, he saw that and I said, right, he said, right, at goal, he said that. So he had his way, like they got a kick at goal. And we stood under the post and I remember looking around at our lads and we didn't have our team out there, like, you know. Ripley was a great runner and a great, great athlete and all that, but he didn't want to do any boxing, to be honest. And it wasn't a lot of heavyweight stuff there in that sense. Anyway, he missed the kick, and Alan Old gathers it, and he does a lovely dropout, right, well into their half of that, gets out of trouble. But I thought, right, I've got to get down here now, and for a prop to be, you see, the first man that gets there is me. And it's just about on the 10-yard line in their half. And a winger called Doug Osborne came from the blindside wing right across the field to catch the ball. On the run he caught it. And he put a beautiful kick in. And if you ever see those backs, I call them, you can always tell a back because they've got a full set of teeth and a centre part in. He had those little V's out of his shorts, so a nice little set of kit he had on. And he did the kick, and he's up in the air, and he's on one foot as I took off. So I couldn't stop where I was, and it was counted as a late tackle. And I caught him, he got attention, and you know, he finished the game. I was, you know, shook hands afterwards, had a few drinks with him. But the main thing was, I'd let the team down, because I was sent up after 3 minutes. Billy Beaumont went to tight head. And that meant that we had a 7-man scrum, you know, for the rest of the game. And it wasn't a specialist prop. They didn't change him around in those days. So I felt bad about it for a long time. Then I reflected on it and I thought, mate, would I have changed anything? No. I think I stood up at the time and a lot of people looking the other way there, waiting for the end. I thought, nah, it wasn't my style and I did what I had to do. Unfortunately, I was punished and... we couldn't finish the game. So that's my take on it.